today on Real Radio.
If we have the grace and the opportunity to leave a last impression, it's very important as Christians that we leave a great one, that we leave one that is perhaps annaled or recorded in history.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 1, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. We're now on the Apostle Paul's third and final missionary journey. The opposition is indeed great, but his passion continued for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the message called Satan Counters the Attack from Acts chapter 19, Satan had a grip on the people of Ephesus and in the surrounding region. Now, Paul was in great distress over it, but God gave him a vision to keep going, and he even sent fellow servants of Christ to strengthen and encourage Paul. Now in chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, we'll find Paul with a renewed and refreshed intensity for the gospel and for the church as he delivers his final farewell. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the apostles' farewell journey was filled with love and affection. Paul wrapped his arms around the people, leaving a lasting impression of comfort and encouragement. And Paul's faithfulness to his mission reminds us of Christ and his seal upon us, that we belong to him. And now, in his lesson called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The title of the message this morning is The Apostles' Farewell Address. And I got to be honest with you, this is probably a 3 or 4 part message, but it's really going to continue all the way through to the end of the very book, Acts chapter 28. The Apostles' Farewell Address. Time magazine was assigned to cover the last week of President Reagan's presidency. And as they did that, so impressed were they with the protocol and with the farewells of those coming into Reagan's office during his administration, that Time magazine began to research history to find out if there had been any record of a more compassionate and a more classy exodus of a president in U.S. history. And in Time magazine, they wrote on January 30th, 1989, quote, "Never in 200 years has there been such an affectionate farewell from a nation and from the White House staff. Such a graceful and noble transfer of authority and such pageantry unmarred by national turmoil. Even the winter gave respect to him. It was an impressionable class act from the president and from the nation as it bid farewell to its oldest president." Time magazine, January 30th, 1989. I remember watching that farewell on television. I remember where I was seated. I remember what was going on. It made a great impression on me. First impressions are very, very important. But we need to be careful as people that the first impression is the one that's constant and continual to the last impression. And it could be that we are a type of people that we don't necessarily give good first impressions. But I want to state this, that if we have the grace and the opportunity to leave a last impression, it's very important as Christians that we leave a great one, that we leave one that is perhaps annaled or recorded in history. And Paul is saying goodbye to people for the last time. He'll never see them again. And he's saying goodbye to people that he loves in Christ. I hate goodbyes. I am very sentimental about goodbyes. Even though at the very moment of the goodbye, I try to delay it, I can tell you that weeks in advance, I'm thinking about the farewell. If I have that luxury to know that I may be leaving or my family might be going somewhere or you might be going somewhere, I'm thinking, you know what, on the 26th, they're going to be going. On the 18th, they're going to be leaving. We just had, as you know, a couple of Russians staying in our home, but one of the girls stayed with us over a longer period of time. And I knew the day that she was going back home. And that bothers me because I can't look at them without thinking their departure's at hand. And sometimes it prevents me from enjoying the presence of them at that moment because I'm thinking sad thoughts. But also, in the contrary, the truth is I'm appreciating their presence because I know they're going to be leaving. And Paul is now saying goodbye to some wonderful believers throughout the missionary journeys of his ministry. This is the end, or we're nearing the end, of his third and final missionary venture. And I want to tell you up front right now, this is a little disclosure to you. From Acts chapter 20 to 28, it has very much upon me the effect that 1 and 2 Timothy has upon me. I am not going to apologize for any passion that I might show you, or tears, or wrinkled words, or whatever you want to call it, by being moved of what's taking place here. I cannot open the book of Timothy without being radically affected. And the book of Acts, specifically, chapters 20 to 28, has the same effect upon me. I have a passion for it, and I don't apologize for that. Somebody said last week, I just really enjoy seeing your excitement for the Lord. Well, I told them, and I made mention of it Wednesday night. It's because I've been forgiven of a lot of sins. You know, I come walking in here and oh, hi, Pastor Jack. Well, I haven't always been Pastor Jack. I've been, big-time sinner Jack, and I'm still a sinner. But the reason why I have enthusiasm is because I have been forgiven so much. Well, Jack, what have you been forgiven of? I'm not telling you. God has forgotten my past. Praise God Almighty. He has forgotten. So that when we sing songs like we did today, He's coming back again. I can say, oh Lord, come quickly. Get me away from me now. I've been saved by the blood of Christ. And I am grateful. And yes, I do love Him a lot because I've been forgiven a lot. And that passion shows sometimes. Paul's passion was great for the church and great for the Lord. In fact, in Colossians 2:5, if you're taking notes, and everybody here takes notes, in Colossians 2:5, the Bible says, Paul speaking, "For though I am absent in the flesh, that is, I'm not with you, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfast faith in Christ." That's how Paul looked at his brothers and sisters in Christ. Just because you're out of town doesn't think you're out of our hearts and our minds. I know that when I go away, I know you're praying for me. I feel the effects of your prayers. I know you're thinking about me, and I'm thinking about you. Though we be absent in the flesh, yet are we together in the Spirit. And that's a wonderful thing. Paul spoke about this Christian life and this Christian love. He told us that we should be, and you want to jot this down, we should be people who are known for the Logos. L-O-G-O-S. The Logos is the Greek word for word. We should be known as people in the Word. He said that we should be known for our ethos. E-T-H-O-S. Ethos is our lifestyle. Christians should be recognized by their lifestyle and the words that they use. But not only that, he said that we should be recognizable by our pathos. P-A-T-H-O-S. Pathos is the Greek word where we get the word passion. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Logos. Be ethos, that is, be ready in your lifestyle, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. That's the pathos, the passion, the Logos, the ethos, the pathos, the word coming out of us, the lifestyle that we live, the passion that we have as Christians. He said that we need to be this way with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come in the end when people will not endure sound doctrine. The more the Word is in your heart and it's got a hold of your lifestyle and it comes out in your passion, the more you will be able to influence people toward Christ. I got to tell you, there's a precious old lady. She's not old anymore. She's in the glory. She's up there in heaven right now at Calvary Costa Mesa. And she used to pray for my parents for years. And we always sat in the same place. I know none of you do that here. But man, we would motor on into to church there. And third pew on the left side in the center, that was my seat. And Lisa sat next to me. And Reba sat next to Lisa. And Joan and Al were there. And we grew up like that. And you're sitting there. And she'd lean over. And she was from England. And she'd say, "Honey, I'm praying for your father and your mother." And I'd say, "Praise the Lord." And this woman prayed. Well, listen, she was so full of the Word, she had such a lifestyle of sharing Christ and being a Christian that it came out in her passion. And she would come up. And I remember one Thursday night at Calvary Chapel, she came up and she said, you know, honey, she called me honey. She said, you know, honey, I led a produce man to the Lord today at Hughes Market over here. And I said, that's great, Reba. How'd that happen? She said, I told him, I said, look at all these fruits that the Lord has made here. And he said, well, that's fine. She said, you know, he respected my age too much to walk away from me. And I made him listen to me. And she said, I held up a banana, I held up a pear, I held up an orange, and I taught him about the ways of the Lord. And that man over those fruits accepted the Lord right there. And that is having the passion of God working in your life. It'll come out in your words, and it'll come out in your lifestyle. And that's what Paul wants for us. And we're going to see how this ties together in a moment, because he's going to go through the region encouraging the people. But it came out in his love for them. Jesus told Peter, Peter, if you love me, and I'm going to paraphrase now, you can show me how much you love me by feeding my people the Word of God. That's how we show our love unto Jesus. Those who have been called in Christian ministry is by encouraging and building up and strengthening his people. That's how we tell him we love him. In 2 Corinthians 11:28, Paul says, beside these other things that press upon me is my deep concern for all of the churches. And we're going to see this as we study this chapter. Philippians 4:11 says, by the way, I've always wanted to put this on the back of like a motorhome. I've wanted to write it on a motorhome, you know, tag it. Put some graffiti in the back of a motorhome that says, Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. All along the way, Paul was loving and caring and defending and standing for the church in the midst of great, great opposition. And the spiritual life, if you haven't caught on, is much like that, you guys. It's great victories and great disappointment. Have you noticed? It's like a cycle. And the answer is found in verse 24. Let's just sneak ahead to verse 24. We'll hit it next week. Verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You can take the highs and the lows because your mission is to present Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. And I trust that we are this morning. First thing you want to jot down in your notes. We're only going to have two main points to this message, but there'll be some sub-points. So first thing is found in verses 1 to 6, and that is the apostles' farewell journey. The apostles' farewell journey. Remember the old times? I don't know if they do it anymore. I haven't paid attention. Remember when the couple of presidents would get on the presidential train and wave out the back as they go through the nation in waving farewell and all? Paul is kind of doing that thing. So when you put your sandals on this morning to follow me, be thinking like that, that Paul is saying goodbye. There's a heart that's in him that is very, very passionate in this regards. The apostles' farewell address. The first thing we see in verse 1 is that there's impressions that are made by actions, and it can be by our very actions. It says, after the uproar had ceased, remember that last week? The insanity that was taking place? After the uproar that had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself and he embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. The first thing I see under this point is that there are impressions that we make by our actions. Paul is saying goodbye. He doesn't say, look, well, I'm the apostle and my motorcade is waiting out here. Goodbye. You know the Hollywood garb, farewell. He's got sunglasses on. I don't think so. There's not flashing going. He's not standing off and aloof. Well, it's been a great ministry, hasn't it? Farewell. God bless. Hey, man, he is embracing them. He's embracing them. He's a leader. He is a pastor of pastors that have never lived since like him. He's the number one guy that we should model our lives over in the flesh. Concerning ministry, of course, Jesus is the greatest. Paul is the absolute epitome of a pastor's heart. And what does he do? He goes around embracing people. Well, you know, you need to keep a distance from the people. You better not let them get too close. After all, you're the pastor. That's junk. Now, I know I should be very respectful on Sunday mornings, but I have no respect for that kind of attitude and mentality. That's wrong. Paul is out there embracing them. Now, why is he out there embracing them? Did Paul go to Manual 3:4-9, pastoral manual, and embrace them, touch them, make them feel warm, and you'll gain their respect? I don't think so. The man was driven by God working upon his heart. He went out and he reached and touched people. I love that. He's embracing them. People are going to look at us, listen, and they're going to hear about you being a Christian and about me being a Christian. And how do we deal with them? Are we kind of cold and standoffish and, I don't know? Are we so protective of our Christian relationship with the Lord that, you know, if we hug even an unbeliever, we could get tainted? Oh, come on. You're not that holy. You're not that pure. And besides, if you were really following Christ, if you and I were really following him, where did you find Jesus all the time? In the midst of a bunch of sinners just like us. He would have been right here. And if somebody in this congregation would have been feeling pretty down today, maybe you had blown it on Friday, or maybe you've come from a radical lifestyle. You can't forgive yourself. Jesus would have pulled on up, sat down, and leaned over to you and said, "How you doing today?" "I'm not doing all that good." And one look into his eyes would have just settled it all. Just settled it. Are we touching? Are we embracing? Are we open enough? Are we confident in Christ? Listen, confident in Christ enough to let people get near us? Many of you know where I live. People come to my door. I mean, the door's open, the screen door is there, and people come up, and you may see me crawling across I was going to say carpet. We tore our carpet out and put brick in the house, but you may see me bloodying my knees now, I guess, goofing off on the plane with the dog or something. Or I got a phone call last night. I was screaming with Ashley because we were wrestling. And, the phone rings, and someone picks up the phone, and they hear me and Ashley in the background going, And that cracks me up because I remember a while back somebody said, to their dad, they asked if Pastor Jack's house is real quiet and a clock ticks. The answer is no. And so you may knock on the door. Look, what am I going to do? Jump up and, hi, how are you? But you know what? Paul's the kind of people that we would have loved. We wouldn't have had to been intimidated by him. We would have been drawn to him. He embraced them and departed. We make impressions by our actions. And it leaves a tremendous picture. The word embraced here in the Greek means to enfold, or are you familiar with the word ensconce? Like a candelabra ensconces a candle, wraps it around. The word in the Greek here means to ensconce, to wrap around. He wrapped them all around. Like Jesus said to Jerusalem, "Oh, I wish I would have ensconced you and held you tight like a chicken holds its little chicks, but you wouldn't let me." He wants to hold them, and he is holding them here. And that will forever leave a picture in the mind of that young church. What kind of a pastor did you guys start out with? Oh, it was the Pastor Paul, and he just loved to hold us and love us. We could get near him. We could talk to him. He was somebody that we could experience. What kind of impression are we leaving behind as believers? Whenever we leave an area or a place or a room or a family or a person, what kind of impression have we left on them? That's convicting, isn't it? Do they walk? When we walk away, do they say, "Thank God he's gone"? You ever been in the presence of somebody who just kind of walks in the room and they're like cussing up a storm? And I understand if they don't know Christ, they're going to cuss up a storm. They don't have anything else to do, and there's not much left in their vocabulary. They can't say praise the Lord because they don't know who he is. But have you ever had somebody walk out of that room and you feel like taking a shower? What kind of impression do we leave as believers? Jesus left impressions. Number one, the first impression he left is that he left us an example to follow him. And the second impression, I'm so glad that he left, and that is the Holy Spirit. He gave us the power to follow him. In John 16:7, this is a strange verse. In John 16:7 says, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. It's better for you that I go away from you." Isn't that strange? "For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you." Jesus said it was better for him to leave. so the Holy Spirit, why? Could come inside us to make an impression in our lives, in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says that now he who establishes us in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also embossed us, stamped us, sealed us, impressioned upon us by giving us the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a great verse? Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for by whom you have been sealed. That is, there's been a stamp impressed upon your life. That's the kind of impression Jesus Christ leaves when he comes into your life. You've been stamped. The second thing is found in verses 2 and 3. Now, when he had gone over the region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and he stayed there 3 months. When the Jews had plotted against him, he was about to set sail to Syria and he decided to return through Macedonia. First thing here is that Paul left an impression by his words. Look at the word encouraged. This is a powerful word. In the Greek, it's parakaleo. Para means alongside, like a parachute is alongside you to hold you up. Or someone comes, you're about ready to faint, and you've seen somebody scoop you up. That's the word parakaleo. Come right alongside and prop you right up and see to it that you don't fall. Paul says here that the Bible says here, Luke speaking to us actually, that Paul went and he went through the region and he encouraged them. He propped them back up. The word also means to call near or to invite to comfort. Listen, it also means to beseech. Now we're in our contemporary setting, we don't use the word beseech anymore, but I want to tell you right now, it means to like beg or to urge strongly. My mother was a master at this. She derived her existence, her meaning. Some of you ladies might go, how gross, but it's not for my mom. She derived her existence from cooking. She loved to cook, and she was great at cooking. And you may say, well, so is my mother, and that's your opinion. No, my mom, when she cooked, everybody's mother, everybody loved her cooking. She was great. And if you didn't eat a lot, she was offended. And she would kind of sit back in the shower. She would sit at her plate and kind of watch you to see if you're going to eat. And the more you ate, the more blessed she became. And if you got to the end and said, oh, man, I can't eat anymore. Don't even. Oh, she would just well up inside. She loved it. That's the word beseech. To encourage, the word can even be translated counsel, to strengthen up. Paul loves them and he wants to give them food. And so he's doing that. He's giving them comfort or encouragement or counsel. The same word appears in Matthew 5:4 in the great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:4, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, counseled, encouraged, strengthened up. The word appears again in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. Should that scare us? Not if you're a Christian. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with the words of his returning, of his coming back. The word means to counsel or to encourage, comfort them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Apostle's Farewell Address, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that you say yes to Christ no matter where he leads. So like Paul, we too can leave a lasting impression of the gospel. The Apostle's Farewell Address, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack does a weekly devotion? Now, these devotions have been a real blessing to so many believers, so don't miss out on these special devotions from Pastor Jack Hibbs. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab and have those devotions sent right to your email. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.